Please rise. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, bless us this evening. Be with us. Help us in our listening to your word. We ask that you would lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us in all the ways of life as they lead to heaven and eternal life. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As you notice in the bulletin, I'm starting a sermon series for the summer. And you see the titles of the seven sermons there. My purpose in life really is to follow Jesus and to help other people follow Jesus all the way to heaven. And I often pray these prayers, not every day, but quite often in 1 week. And my prayers are very simple. Jesus, help me first of all to listen to your word. Help me to repent of my sins. Help me to believe in all of your truths and your promises. Help me to be thankful, to give thanks for all that you've given me. Help me to understand your will. Help me to obey that will. And finally, help me to teach this life you've taught me to others. Tonight, I especially want to zero in on that first part, that first prayer, Jesus, help me to listen. John begins his gospel in this way. In the beginning was the Word. Everything that exists in this universe, all reality, begins with God's Word. We see it in the book of Genesis when God said in verse 3, chapter 1, let there be light. This is what John is referring to in his gospel when he says, in the beginning was the Word. And he goes on to tell us that that Word is the eternal Son of God as well that we just confessed in that long Athanasian Creed. All things that exist, exist because God brought them into existence. It is the complete opposite of emptiness and nothingness. All standing on that foundation of God's Word. It's an amazing thing for us to think about. And that gift of words and language is one of the great gifts that God gave to Adam and Eve. They could speak with God in innocence and perfection and in love in the garden. One of the first things that Adam did was to exercise that gift of language and words when he named all the animals and distinguish between the animals and especially himself. God's Word is a beautiful and powerful thing. And yet, in the third chapter of Genesis, we know that all of those words became corrupted with lies and untruths and falsehoods. That brought sin and death into the world. But God again followed that with words. Words of forgiveness, words of promise, words of salvation. But that presents all of us with a struggle between the words of God that are true and the words of the evil one, which are false, which are destructive. Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John, this is a powerful chapter of the Bible, the gospel lesson comes from a little part of it, but it's a tremendous chapter of the Bible, and I encourage you to maybe go home this evening or tomorrow and just read the whole chapter. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He was bringing his disciples back to that foundation of reality and the eternal reality of good that rests in God's words and in that truth. But as I said, we are torn, aren't we, between what is true and what is not true. And all human beings have a penchant, have a leaning, have a desire for the things that are not true. Proof of this came about last summer in Vancouver, Canada. An artist by the name of Doug Beaven was part of a street festival in Vancouver in which artists and local businesses could show off their wares to the community. Douglas presented a very, very unusual and unique product. It was hot dog water. Yes, you can picture this in your mind with me right now. A sleek glass bottle with a silver plastic top, and suspended inside is an all-beef hot dog. A large, beautifully presented poster explained that hot dog water is good for you. It's keto-friendly. It promises to help the consumer lose weight, increase brain function and vitality. The truth, however, of hot dog water was in the fine print, which was on the poster and printed on every bottle. Hot dog water, in its absurdity, hopes to encourage critical thinking related to product marketing and the significant role it can play in our purchasing choices. Hot dog water sold for $30 a bottle, U.S., and amazingly, Douglas sold almost 6 gallons of water at that street festival. It proves the truth hammered out by the good English philosopher Francis Bacon, who said, "Men prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. They prefer to believe what they prefer to be true." We have, because of our sinful nature, a tendency, an inclination, a leaning toward those things which are not true, and we're easily taken in by claims such as the one we just heard. St. Paul warned us not to follow the irreverent babble and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Jesus told his disciples to beware of those who are blind leaders of the blind. In John chapter 8, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the great Jewish festival, the Festival of Tabernacles. And one feature of that festival was a huge 75-foot lampstand that was lit every evening that illuminated the entire temple area. It was in that light that Jesus said at the beginning of John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus lived the truth, and Jesus taught the truth. And Jesus, in his debate on the temple grounds with the Pharisees, showed them that he really is the Son of God, the Father of all things and Creator, that he is in fact also the I Am, the Yahweh, the Jehovah of the Old Testament himself. And being the very Son of God, he could also give his life as a sacrifice for sins and would be the only one who could set anyone free from the slavery of sin. "If you continue in my word," Jesus said, "you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But here's where my little prayer suggestion comes in to all of us. It is good for us to pray to Jesus, to ask him to help us in listening to him as our ultimate source of truth. As I said, all good things begin with God's word, beginning with creation. A woman was once caught in the temptation of an affair with another man, not her husband. And it was tearing her up, and she came to the pastor and she said, "I've been praying for this like you wouldn't believe." And the pastor wisely said, "Are you listening?" It's easy for us to cry out to God and to beg God and even yell at him and command him to give us the things that we need, or at least the things that we think we deserve. But it's more important for us to cry out to God and ask him to be our God and our Savior, and to lead us and to guide us. There are many prayers like that in the Bible, talking about leading, guiding, teaching, directing. This is what David is speaking of in Psalm 23 when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so knowing that Jesus is the way and the life and the truth, it's good for us to turn our ears in the right direction, in the direction of His Word given to us in the prophets and in the Gospels and in the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John and others. It's important for us not to turn our ears in the direction of thinking we're going to get a direct revelation from God, that somehow God's going to visit us in our bedroom tonight and reveal all the things that we need to know and answer all of the questions that we have. I knew a man once who went to a church, and the pastor would often say, "The Lord told me this or that thing," whatever it may be. He was always a little doubtful of those kinds of special revelations that the pastor claimed he was receiving. And especially one day when the pastor came to him and said, "The Lord told me to tell you." That's when he knew he needed to turn his ears in a little different direction. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through His Son." And what a blessing and privilege it is for us to know Jesus through His words, to listen. We can pick them up at any time. We can read them. That's what we're here about this evening. Psalm number 1 tells us that sometimes when it comes to listening to Jesus, we have to shut some things out. The psalm begins, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his love, his joy is in meditating upon God's word." Men like to multiply words. They're not all lies, but they're not always very helpful either. The invention of books and radio and television and in the internet itself can sometimes be a great distraction to us. And I'm not one at all to say burn books or get rid of radios or TV or even the internet. These can be great gifts from God to communicate things important to us. But here's where we need to pray and ask God to show us the limitations we need on some of those things and the right choices among those things that will help us find and receive the truth. And finally, as we pray this prayer, "Jesus, help me to listen," we also need to know that it is in those words of Jesus that we find the ultimate truth. Again, from John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus himself says, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God." I have a little note in my Bible at that verse, John 8, 47, and it says simply, "Remember Chaplain Ernie Wenzel." That was one of his favorite Bible verses. You know, we used to talk about this. It's amazing how easily we can be diverted away from the Word of God. How easy it is for us not to come to church, whether it's a little too cold, a little too hot, a couple of sneezes, and we see that as an obstacle and we're unable to worship. But I remember Chaplain Wenzel and thinking about the times when he led worship services with soldiers in the army, in the mud, among the mosquitoes, using a footlocker as an altar. And for music, a bunch of men who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and chirping birds. But it was good because it was worship that centered and revolved around the Word of God. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Today, or this weekend, is Father's Day and Trinity Sunday. I remember especially this from my father, a very busy man who didn't always have time to play with me, but he always had time to have devotions with me and with our family. He would read the scriptures, talk about them a little bit, and then pray. I vividly remember one afternoon in Indianapolis, some boys came knocking on the door asking if Michael can come out and play. My dad said, "Sure, after we have devotions." And then, he kind of shocked me, said, "Come on in." And they came in, sat down with us. I was a little embarrassed, but Dad went through the devotions, and they were actually kind of impressed. And afterwards, I was very impressed, realizing, you know what, this is really what matters in this world and in this life. There's plenty of time for work, plenty of time for play, But the best time of all is the time we have to listen to Jesus and the time he gives us to pray. Help us, Jesus, to listen. Amen. Please rise. O Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God of our salvation. You will never leave us as orphans. You will always be with us to guide us in all truth, ultimately leading to that eternal life that you have promised. Amen.